It's Mickey and the Roadster, Mickey and the Roadster Racers. Mickey and the Roadster, Mickey and the Roadster Racers. My name is Joe Fortunato. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Michael Murphy. And this is Bantering the Blue Shirts, the flagship episode. And I am playing Mickey and the Roadster Racers on YouTube on mute so that my daughter, who is sitting on my lap, does not make any noise. If she does, too bad. I have a kid. I don't know what to tell you. Michael, how are you doing?
Is she just enjoying the pretty, pretty colors?
Yeah, she's probably going to make some noises, you know, Mickey and Minnie come on because they're her favorite. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
So it's Mickey and Minnie Mouse and they're in a drag race?
So there are a series of programs. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, which is Mickey goes around with his gang and they solve things.
They search the Australian wasteland for guzzling and the war boys, and they spray chrome spray paint around their mouths.
They use tools, the Mouse-ca-tool, and it has three tools and then a mystery tool that is a surprise tool that will help them later. Now, that's Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. There is Mickey Mouse and the Roadster Racers, which is about Mickey and his gang, only more Mad Max-esque. They are, they like race, and they race all the time, different races. They have a hot dog truck. It's crazy. So, yeah, get into it.
Oh, man, I just imagine Minnie Mouse is
holy shit, this episode that I'm watching on YouTube has 190 million views.
Yeah, that's not surprising to me, man.
My God.
Have you seen how many views the Baby Shark video has?
Oh, I love Baby Shark.
Do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, but the, I just imagined...
Do-do-do-do. Yeah, he's just going around.
Minnie Mouse is Furiosa, is the mental image we're bringing
there,
to you.
There are weapons on the
They do not have fucking weapons.
So they do. They have, like, little rockets, and there's, like, parachutes and shit. There's all sorts of stuff that you're not fucking ready for. That's the point. By the way, if we have not announced it yet, I would like to announce it now. This is a Mickey Mouse podcast from this point forward. So yeah. Come for the Rangers talk and then be fooled by it just being about Mickey Mouse.
Oh, I want to say thank you to Eric Cohn for stepping in.
In for you. By the way, April Fool's on the Mickey Mouse thing, although it certainly can be. We had to do something. Mike wouldn't let me do something bigger. Yes, Eric Cohn filled in. He was fantastic. He was a... I don't want to refer to him as a better Mike, but he was a better Mike.
No, and, message received. I can tell that people like Eric more than me. And, you know, honestly, I don't like me a lot some days, too. You know, I'm pretty down.
All right, you know what? Don't take this into goddamn negative territory.
No, it's you know, sometimes I just look at the sky and I say, you know, someday we're all just going to die. That big, beautiful sun's just going to burn out and we're all just going to be dead. All going to be just dust on a barren wasteland. Just ash drifting through tumbleweeds that haven't seen...
You're making my daughter cry. That's what you're doing. Is that what you want?
I'll show her the Mickey Mouse racers.
She's looking at it, but she's slightly confused. There's Santa Claus. There's a lot of things going on.
Ask her why he wears gloves and no shirt.
Okay, that's an interesting thing to ask a child. So we joked a little bit in the beginning of the show, but we do have semi-serious news. Over the weekend, I believe it was on Sunday, the CWHL, which is the Canadian version of the NWHL, it has been around for 12 years versus the NWHL, which has been around since 2015. Mike, correct me if I'm getting any of this wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm correct. It's folded.
Mostly correct.
Yeah. What did I get wrong?
It's the Canadian Women's Hockey League. It's not the Canadian version of the National Women's Hockey League. It's the Canadian Women's Hockey League.
Yeah, but we're American, so we have to have a bias towards...
No, so is Canada is America. It's also North America.
Yeah, but it's not the United States of America.
It's not what you specified. You said it's...
Well, America. You knew what I meant. If you were a true patriot, you would have known what I meant. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we found out the same way that I've read more stories on this than I can count. We found out the same way everybody found out, apparently, that the Board of Governors just decided, or the Board of Directors, I guess, just decided that, we're packing up shop. That's the end of it. So all the general managers found out the same way. All the players found out the same way. This is a topic that is very close to Mike's heart. So I'm certainly going to let him have his moment of, just thought on it. But it's a terrible thing the game has finally sort of found this momentum from the female side of things. And it, you know, the NWHL had one of their best years ever, and the CWHL, there was certainly, like, the two-league thing, I think, presented a problem. Just everybody's asking for the NHL to get involved, and they're refusing to do so when there's competitive leagues out there, and I believe they're considering the NWHL a competitive league as well, like, to what the NHL would want to create. But, Mike, just overall thoughts on what's going on right now, you know, ways people can help, all that fun stuff.
Well, it's I got a tip from a source that there was an announcement coming on Sunday morning. No one really knew what that was going to be, and from a couple of people I've talked to who are close to the CWHL, talked to some players and a couple general managers, the way that everything unfolded is kind of the way we've heard it in the news. It was the board of directors or board of governors in the CWHL made a decision that their model was no longer financially viable, and they had a not-for-profit model versus the NWHL's for-profit model, and they decided to discontinue operations effective May 1st. So this April will be the last month where the league is functioning, but of course, you know, the CWHL playoffs are already over. The Calgary Inferno won the Clarkson Cup just over a week ago. So they, maybe 8 or 9 days ago, depending on when you listen to this podcast, is when we had our 2019 Clarkson Cup champions. And 1 week later, the news came out that the league was folding. And
4 days before the World Championship.
Yeah, that's the really unfortunate. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that sucks about this. The first being, there's approximately 135 players who will really not be able to play pro hockey this upcoming season unless some sort of Hail Mary solution comes together. If maybe even a new league pops up, there's a lot of people who hope the NWHL can absorb a couple of the teams there from the CWHL, especially the teams, you know, in that east market with Toronto, and there's two teams in the Greater Toronto area. It's Markham and the Toronto Furies, and then there's Le Canadien de Montreal, which is the sister team of the Habs in Montreal. So there might be something there, which helps take a little bit of sting away from the story. But at the end of the day, this is awful. The way it happened is really rough. Talking to a lot of players, they're all devastated by this. A lot of people, you know, it's a small league with a dozen years of history, and I know a lot of people who put their, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into making it run and operate, and they all just got told, you know, there's no tomorrow for the league they care so much about. So really sad stuff, and, you know, I hope we get better news soon. And I know we're a Rangers podcast, but this sort of thing affects the entire hockey landscape.
Hockey is for everyone. Didn't the CWHL just sign an agreement with, like, the NHL Network for
air rights? Well, they had the Clarkson Cup final, I was just talking about, where Calgary defeated Le Canadien de Montreal, was on Sportsnet, and it was also broadcast on the NHL Network. It had 175,000 unique viewers, so, like, the women's game has never been bigger. It continues to grow. The reason this is so, it's so hard for people to accept that as fact when we have something like the league folding. Like, how, what do you mean it's growing if this league doesn't work? And the bottom line is, like, their model has not been sustainable, really, since the get-go. It was not built for profit, and a couple years ago they decided to take on a major investment from China, because the Chinese Olympic Committee wanted to improve their women's hockey field heading into the 2022 Olympics in Beijing. And so they made a major investment, and they had two teams in China, and then this year that shrank down to one team, and now we have this happen, and the investment from China in part made it possible for CWHL players to get paid for the first time. And maybe that put more financial stress on their you know, their budget than they were able to bear, but it's hard to say. I don't want to speculate too much, but the bottom line is, from everything we've heard, this is just, it was, they couldn't continue to operate the way they have. They're folding the league.
Yeah, and I want to make something very clear, too, and I think it's really important, especially in a time like this. It's very easy for an outside observer to look at the lack of a league existing in the CWHL as, oh, there's no interest in the women's game. Like, of course this would happen. And I need you to keep in mind that, like, there are probably multiple NHL teams, you could probably count them on two hands, that don't turn a profit every year. And that is with just exuberant sponsorships, the TV rights that you get from both Canada and the United States with NBC. Remember that, like, the NBC TV deal is kind of pittance. So, like, yeah, I think a lot of people look at that as, like, oh, it's a boon. Like, that's a big money factor. Maybe not as much as you think. We're watching the Florida Panthers play in front of, like, 2,000 people a night. So don't take this as, you know, oh, there's no growth in the women's game, or there's no interest in the women's game. It's hard. It's hard to run a sports team. It's hard to make money. There are tons of soccer teams in England, and I bring that up because it's really, like, it's the football, no pun intended, of England, right? Like, that's what, there are plenty of teams that don't make money. So it's not a matter of, like, the world is kind of changing. The NWHL, they had their issues too. The NHL has their issues. Team have their issues. I mean, we're seeing Vegas get a team, or Vegas got a team. We're seeing Seattle get a team. There are probably three or four teams that could very easily in the NHL be thrown into another market because they're very simply not making money. So, and my daughter found the thing on the Apple Watch that shows people that my phone is there. So, just that's the point that I want to make, is that it don't take this as, like, it's very easy to see something like this and to get down and be like, you know what, fuck this, it's not worth it. Just like climate change or a bunch of other stuff where things just seem overwhelming.
Climate change.
Yeah, man. It's overwhelming.
We could bring this back to the Mad Max references we were making earlier.
We're closer than I think people think to that point. So, yeah, just don't let it get you down. Hopefully there's a solution out there. It doesn't sound like the NHL is going to swoop in and save the day.
No,
once again,
we know,
can
Gary
we
Bettman.
Just say, this is a fucking easy, just like with the ladies who played during the All-Star game, this is a super easy PR win. Anybody can tell you, and the NHL is going to fuck it up. Go ahead, Michael.
So Gary Bettman, his stance is he's not going to get involved so long as there's competition. He wants to make a WNHL. He said that he's wanted to do it for a while. And people said, well, that's funny, Gary. Why didn't you do it when the CWHL and NWHL didn't exist? As far as I'm aware, he doesn't have a retort to that. So his stance is he's interested in professional women's hockey, but he's not going to do it so long as there's competition. And his stance was always the other two leagues just have to go away, essentially. Not merge. They have to go away. So maybe this makes a potential scenario where the NHL, or at least the NHL's resources and, like, the full support of the NHL can get involved in pro women's hockey if they, you know, maybe step in and talk to the NWHL about assuming ownership or whatever happens there. But it's still in the infancy. I mean, we're recording this show, a little over 24 hours after the news happened. So it's definitely, you know, I don't know if how many of our listeners are invested or care, but it's something I'm sure we can circle back to in the off season, and I be able to offer hopefully some insight into it. But until then, we still have some Rangers hockey to talk, Joe. There's been some things happening.
Yeah, and not great things either.
We signed a kid.
But they keep winning hockey games, Mike.
Yeah, that's true.
They cannot help themselves.
I went to one of those hockey games. That was fun.
I don't know what the score of the game is right now, but Mike went to the game on Friday against St. Louis with his girlfriend, who's a St. Louis Blues fan. Blues lost?
Yeah, that was interesting how that all played out.
Yeah, then the Rangers played the Flyers, and the Flyers lost. And the New York Rangers, the team that I was so excited about their little tanking episode, so happy that they were in fifth place, honest to God, traveling toward like maybe a fourth or a third best from the bottom, now have 75 points and they're seventh. Talk about this madness, Michael.
Well, I mean, if you want to look for a silver lining here, Joe, boy, that
I need Georg- one. Give
that,
it to me.
That Georgiev has looked pretty great.
All right, don't let's talk about the shit before we bring out the sun.
All right, well, you did say give it to me. It is very frustrating because, and again, those last two wins against St. Louis is it wouldn't. It's when you watching that game, all I could do is shake my head. I felt gutted because my girlfriend had two of her very good friends from St. Louis flying in. It was a perfect scenario. They get to first time at the Garden. They get to hopefully see their team clinch, and they're like, "Oh, is it going to be hard for you because they're rooting for the Blues?" And I was like, "Not really." The best case scenario
please
here
win.
Is
yes, please the Rangers want to have
play entertaining hockey and they lose. And I remember. Zibanejad's goal that got waved off. I was like, you know what? They got to hear our goal song. Let's call it a day. Let's get out of here. Let's get to a bar afterwards. But that is not how it panned out in that game, Joe. As you and I both know, it was the Blues outchanced and outshot the Rangers 2-1 by a margin of 2-1, and the final score was 4-2. And then Sunday, Alexander Georgiev shut out the Flyers 3-0. Pavel Buchnevich has just decided to, all the people who were just giving Pavel Buchnevich shit, I'm sure they're still giving him shit, because that's just kind of what they'll do, but he has just been on an absolute tear. Ryan Strom, apparently, when he's on a sinking ship, Joe, he knows how to navigate it pretty well. He's shooting like 22% or something, and he just keeps adding goals, keeps picking up points, and even Brady Shea gets another goal, Joe. All this would be so less frustrating if the Rangers didn't have those 13 worthless overtime loss points, you know, those shootout and OT losses that you and I were talking about back in October and November, just like, yeah, these keep piling up. This might be something we want to keep an eye on.
Now it's literally come back to the point where,
yeah,
like,
God.
I mean, look, we've discussed this 1,000 times. Eric and I discussed it last week. There is a benefit to the way the Rangers are playing. It means they've bought into Quim. These guys are, there's no lack of effort. There's a never say die attitude. There is a ton of positives to take from the New York Rangers being this competitive, to be honest, with a piece of shit roster. I mean, the defense is pretty much half the defense is a disaster.
If only they could be competitive and lose, though,
the
Joe.
Forward group at this point, from an offensive standpoint, has Zibanejad, Buchnevich, like, pre-injury Kreider, Lemieux.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a good situation for anyone to be in.
And Ryan, the Rangers are all-star Strom.
They're not playing terrible hockey, but they lost a couple of huge games. Losing to Detroit was enormous. Like, there's all these things that make you think. And here's the thing.
Absolutely. That first loss, that loss to Detroit where.
Oh, it was glorious.
I was actually at regulation. That game, too. Yeah, and Athanasiu just skated circles around the Rangers, and I was like, you know what? This is great. These are two bad teams, and you want your team to lose to a bad team, because that was getting the Rangers closer to the bottom. And, like, looking at the standings now. You know, the Rangers are obviously in action while we're recording tonight, but
losing 2-1, by the way. So
the teams who were below the Rangers in the standings, Detroit, Buffalo, and Jersey, all have 10 points in terms of those overtime losses and shootout losses. The Rangers have 13. It makes a huge freaking difference, Joe. Those extra, if that just a couple more times where you know, they just got dragged into overtime by Georgiev or Lundqvist, and I know it, and people will be like, you know, look at their numbers this year. They haven't been that good. You can't look at either of them than this season. Think of how many 40-save games we've seen from Georgiev. Think how many one-goal games the Rangers have been in this year. It's just, they just can't help it. Like, they don't know how to win all the way to get to the cup, And they don't know how to lose all the way to get to the bottom.
Yeah, and they're
just,
to be fair,
just kind of the way it is.
They're not good enough to, you know, they're not good enough to lose their way or to win their way to the cup. Let's not, you know, let's not
throw that out there either. No, I meant that back before this season. Like,
oh, I see what you're saying.
The problem that plagued this team for so long was they were this, like,
the dreaded middle.
Yeah, this dreaded upper middle crust of the league where it's like they almost have it. They're missing a couple of pieces, so we're going to go ahead and make that big expensive trade to try and find, oh, look, we got Eric Staal. This should help, right? Not at all. Doesn't help at all.
And here's the difference. This is a tangible issue. At fifth from the bottom, it's a 26.1% chance at a top three pick. Again, you want to be in the top two in this draft, but the only shot that you have at being in the top two, right, is if you get a top three pick. At seventh, where the Rangers are right now, it's 20.4%. So you go from better than 1 in 4 odds to worse than one, or to slightly better than 1 in 5 odds. And that's a big difference. It's a really big difference. So the Rangers, like, figure your shit out, and I guess let's take it.
It's time to root for Buffalo and Detroit. Right,
you're now entering the positives, so let's talk about the positives. Pavel fucking Buchnevich, who is not playing tonight. I believe they're being cautious due to the concussion protocol. He got pulled out of the game against the Flyers because of a collision, so let's hope that's the case. I think Quinn had said that he didn't suffer any other setbacks this morning, I believe, but no reason not to be super cautious. Buchnevich scored his 20th goal of the year. He's been absolutely on fire, and we've given Quinn credit on this show. I think there's also credit to be given to the fact that he's actually playing, which is an enormous, you know, that's a big part of it too, because
it's going to help you play better hockey when you get a chance.
Yeah, when you actually
play.
When you play. But 37 points in 61 games, that is about a 52 point season if he paced out to 82 games. There are people out there, and they still exist right now, and I find it really amazing. Like, there are people who hate him. They just hate him. They just don't like him. They've never liked him. I don't know if it's the Russian factor. I don't know what it is. They don't like him, so they continue to shit on him. Oh, we haven't seen him do this, you know, over the full course of a season. Or, oh, we haven't seen him do, you know, X, Y, and Z, blah, 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 blah. Here's what I'm telling you. I am telling you that Pavel Buchnevich has already been a very positive impact and a very valuable forward for the New York Rangers. Not talking about just this year, I'm talking about in general. The Rangers are starved of any form of elite talent. They desperately need something like this, and they have it. You're talking about a guy who is playing, I mean, 20 minutes a night, Mike. He didn't, obviously, he missed the rest of the game against Philadelphia, so yeah, only 13 minutes there. But he's been.
But up until that, it was 18 and a half minutes.
Yeah, he's 19
and a half
been
minutes,
a monster for the Rangers. He's got 37 points. He hasn't played in, 18 games this year?
He's missed a lot of time.
So, and then there's other people. There are the other group of people who.
Other group of people.
They were either cautious people with him or talked shit about him, and now they don't want to be wrong. That's what it's come down to. We've been on the Buchnevich train for 4 fucking years. Get on. I don't care. There is no such thing. Like, get on the bandwagon. It does not matter to me. He's fucking exciting. Be excited about him. There's no reason not to be excited about him. And we're going to get into all sorts of debates as the year goes on, and I mean that by, like, the summer goes on, because I don't think the Rangers should bridge him, and I think they're going to, but that's a different conversation for a different day. Let's take a turn to a negative, Michael.
Oh, I was going to say a
nice. Well, do you want to say something nice about Buchnevich? I kind of went off on that one. I apologize.
So, since March 1st, Joe.
I'm so ready for this stat.
Before today.
Put it right into my ear. Gently.
Buchnevich is fourth, or tied for fourth, I should say, in the league with 5-on-5 goals. So, he's out tonight. In his last 15 games, 6 goals at 5-on-5.
Worth saying, by the way, shooting 17% right now. Career average is about 13. Now, the career average is based on a lot of fourth line games, you know, a lot of lack of minutes, so he may be a better scorer than that, but it's worth saying that he's shooting above his career average right now. Not drastically. Not 4 points isn't drastic.
And the really crappy thing is he before being knocked out of the lineup for tonight, he's on a 7-game scoring streak.
Yeah, man.
Like, and a lot of these points are primary points. Like, he is a guy, he just keeps being involved in the offense, and it's one of those things where, you know, we've been looking for it and looking for it, and, like, we saw a little burst of it, and this season was so frustrating because he got injured just when it felt like it was starting to click again. And then now that, you know, he's gotten back, like, for him to end up with 20 goals, like, if you and I talked 2 months ago and if we said, would you take Buchnevich finishing the season with 20 goals, we would be like, where the hell do we sign? Like, I'll sign in my brain blood. I know I need all the blood I can get in my brain, but I'll give some of it up. Like, that's a great deal.
The brain blood.
Yeah, brain blood's pretty important blood.
It's my, yeah, it's important blood. Hedl just scored, by the way. Hedl scored to tie the game.
It's a good timeout.
Timeout. Colin Stevenson from Newsday said Hedl on the rebound. The New York Rangers official Twitter feed says that it is VC. Wait a minute, they actually just deleted the tweet, so I'm assuming that it is Hedl and they just got it wrong.
Okay. So again, you know, this is fun stuff. You take the good with the bad. The Rangers keep being competitive when they shouldn't be. And losing to the Devils
suck. Like, the Devils really suck. They're not even playing Taylor Hall. Like, the Devils are tanking the appropriate way. Can we say that, at least? Like, yeah, it's hard to lose to teams like that. The Rangers are better than the Devils are.
D'Angelo with another primary assist on the power play. So
yeah, Jesus Christ. D'Angelo is just a goddamn monster. We talked about, I don't know if you, did you listen to the podcast last week, out of curiosity?
I did. I listened to both.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought you guys did.
Eric is smart. There's good flow with Eric. Made, you know, I had him. He did an emergency podcast. I think you were sick last year, and I had to get him on last minute. And yeah, our patrons are better than your patrons. Patreon.com/blueshirtbanter. By the way, if you want 6 stickers or even a mug,
yeah, we have to. When the season's over, I'm going to get around to the mug.
I don't have a mug yet either. Which, you know,
well, you
I was promised a mug. So
I've been. I went to the freaking urgent care, and I got an upper respiratory infection, buddy, buddy.
So if I had my mug, I could drink tea out of it for you. I
also drank my weight in craft beer over the last weekend, so.
And, well, maybe that's why you have the upper respiratory infection, huh?
No, that came after the fact.
Well, right, it came after because of the, you know. D'Angelo's 30th point of the season, by the way. He is the 4th New York Ranger, 23 years old or younger, who's recorded 30 or more points in a season since 1994. Michael, who are the other 3? You should get this.
I stopped listening. I was looking something else up.
D'Angelo had his 30th point of the season.
Uh-huh.
He's the 4th defenseman, 23 years or younger, who has recorded 30 or more points in a season since 1994.
Sure.
Who are the other 3?
Let's go with Delzato.
Correct.
Let's go with Ryan McDonough.
Correct.
And you said 3?
There's one more.
Oh.
Terrible podcasting. It is. You're going to kick yourself. It happened very recently. He got signed to a massive extension this summer.
Oh, Brad Chase.
Yeah, it is Brad Chase. So let's talk about the bad now. This podcast has had a nice flow to it. I like it. We've gone everything from Mickey Mouse and the Roads to Racers to Mickey Mouse being Mad Max.
All I want to do is draw Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse in a Mad Max alternate universe.
Maybe you should.
Maybe I will.
There'd be nothing wrong with that.
There'd be a lot of things right with that.
So Ryan Strome scored his 17th goal as a New York Ranger against the Flyers.
We're going to talk about this.
Makes a career-high 18 goals on the year for him. He has 30 points in 59 games for the New York
Rangers. He's a goddamn animal lately.
He's putting points up left and right. Here is the problem. Ryan Strome is a 9.9% shooter. That is his career average, okay? That's very important because as I wrote in a story that I then realized I could not publish because Tom was writing a very similar story and I didn't realize it. The law of averages, excuse me, math always wins, okay? That's the point I'm trying to make to you. Math always wins. The law of averages is undefeated. Strome is shooting 22.4% this year.
It's pretty good.
At his career average of a 9.9, he would have 7 goals with the Rangers.
At his career best, 11.4, he would have 8.5 goals for the New York Rangers. Don't you think we'd be looking at Ryan Strome differently if he only had 8 goals instead of 18? This is a guy who is riding an unbelievable shooting percentage streak. He's shooting legitimately double and then some, probably 250% higher than his career average. Those things don't last. He's not going to shoot 22.4% next year. There's no way. So he shot 3.3% in the 18 games with Edmonton. This is partly like him making up for that. But the Rangers need to be very careful, and they don't have to extend him this year. He's got 1 year left as a restricted free agent at $3.1 million. But you don't give extensions out to guys who overshoot their career average by 250%.
No, you don't do that. Strome has been really interesting. I feel like when the trade happened, right, with Spooner, it was like, all right, so what do we expect from Strome? It's just, well, if he's in the lineup, then he's an improvement over Spooner, because Spooner was not going to play under Quinn. It was oil and water. That was not going to happen. And we got to see Strome and said, all right, well, you know, we got our little bottom six center here. And, you know, everyone, you know, a lot of very optimistic people are saying, oh, you know, former fifth overall pick, let's freaking do it. But he's not a kid. And, you know, following his numbers,
not a kid.
Well, he's somebody. He's like Jackson Brown once said, he's somebody's baby. But he's a child. Looking closely at his numbers from doing Rangers Radar this season, which has been really fun, kind of insightful, because I get to kind of pay a closer attention to these
trends. And a huge success.
Oh, that's so kind of you to say, you sweet man.
Just letting you know, it's a big success.
You're a little strawberry on top of a little mountain of ice cream. That's what you are. And I tell you, he has now matched his career high in goals for an entire season, an 81-game season he had in his sophomore year with the Islanders, where he had 17 goals, Joe, in 81 games. That season, he shot 9.5%, and that was his 50-point season. That was the best he's ever done, and honestly, it's probably the best he ever will do, and that's not an attack against Ryan Strome, because this is not the player he is. He's not an 18-goal guy. He's certainly not an 18-goal and 60-game guy, which he has been with the Rangers right now. And I think it's just kind of important to just kind of remind everyone, you know, a little pH test. So I guess it's awesome that he's having a little bit of fun here, but this is we should not have elevated expectations for what Ryan Strome is and what he's able to do. There's a lot of things that, you know, it's easy to like about his game. He works hard, but he's not this player, right? And in many ways, he's one of those guys who, especially since the trade deadline, has been punching so far above his weight, Joe, that, you know, when we try to understand how the Rangers didn't end up further down in the standings, you know, we have to think about a guy like Ryan Strome shooting, like you said, 22% when he's a career, you know, much, much more realistic to call him like a career 9.5, 9.9 shooter. So it's been a wild ride for Strome, and I hope he's having a lot of fun, but it's not helping the team big picture,
no,
Joe.
I hope Jeff Gorton is aware that, like, there is no better time to trade him than this summer.
Oh, my goodness.
When you can point
to him,
look, yeah, he has a career high in goals. You got another year of team control. He's an RFA. Let's fucking go.
And you need a center? Because he's a 48% faceoff guy.
If they don't do that, they are fools. Seriously. If you don't do that, you're a fool. Just, you gotta, and I don't want to hear there's so much just passive aggressiveness in the Rangers Twitterverse these days. The, oh, he's 25 years old, you know, get him an AARP card. That's not what this is. This is a player who has incredible value right now that he will not take with him next year, because there will be a fallout next year. So
yeah, he's not a case of, like, you know, Brett Howden, whose underlying numbers are awful. But you say to yourself, you know what, he's a kid. Let's give him some time. You know, I don't think Brett Howden expected to be playing in the NHL this season. And by the way, Brett Howden scored a goal tonight. But
he did.
And which is great to see him start to pick up some points. This is actually his fourth straight game picking up a point, which is great for him. And, like, we can say those things and also acknowledge, like, yeah, and his underlying numbers are terrible. Granted, he's been on a terrible team, playing with, you know, on some terrible lines. But the difference there is Brett Howden is a baby. Ryan Strome is an established player. You know, he's been in the league since 2013-14. He's under 30, and yeah, he's not like 27, 28, but he's gotten to play a lot of hockey, and we've gotten to see that his underlying numbers have never been particularly good. Just in terms of what he can do, this is him just punching way above his weight. And again, that's fine. And we should get excited when a guy is able to do this. It's one of those things where you have to really make sure you know what you have here with Ryan Strome. And I highly doubt the Rangers are getting wrapped up in any sort of getting enamored with Strome and what he's been able to do. I just think, like, for some fans, and, you know, pump the brakes a little bit, but also, like you said, Joe, just put him on the block, you know, at the draft, and just say, hey, you don't like that third or that late second round pick you have? You want a Ryan Strome? You know, we'll kick over Ryan Strome and
reclamation project. That's all.
Just why not?
Like Nick Patan would have been a nice if you make that swap, and then it is what it is. And look, a lot of hockey and a lot of GMing is getting out a year too soon rather than a year too late. And yeah. The Rangers did this perfectly with Derek Brassard. You'd think they'd learn from it. So fucking
that,
do it. Do
yeah,
it with
that
Strome.
Was okay? Such a huge success.
Swing for Alfensos.
One would imagine that is the sort of thing that really sticks with a GM. You know, would stick with Gorton, where he has to look every day back at that trade and see what Mika Zibanejad has done this season. Who's another guy we could talk about? I know you and Eric talked about him as well, but like. 30 goals. Mika Zibanejad.
Yeah, he's a monster.
If you want silver linings from this season, you look no further than Mika Zibanejad. His contract right now, which I know some people are a little nervous about because of the injury history, his contract is one of the best contracts we've seen signed in the last 3 years. And honestly, it might stay up there as a top five deal. It's just so damn good. And he's so damn good. He's 72 points on this team is incredible. And think about all the talk there was, Joe, about, oh, Derek Stepan and, you know, that 60-point mark. And, you know, Derek Stepan, you know, why didn't he ever put it together? Zibanejad, 72 points, 30 goals. He's still young.
He's really young.
He's goddamn good. There are some good things here to build around. Ryan Strome isn't one of them. Wish him nothing but the best. Mika Zibanejad, Pavel Buchnevich are definitely two guys you can build around. And you and I are both high on Buch, and I think you and I are both high on Zibanejad. And there are good things. Like, I know it's frustrating when, you know, it's a weird thing to say, you know, I want this team to lose. But really, that is what will serve them best is losing.
Yeah, you're
but
not going to remember this bullshit.
Yeah,
when they
now
get Jack Hughes or Kepa Kaka.
After tonight's game, Joe, it's three games left, and if the Rangers come away with 2 points here tonight, they are definitely not going to finish in that bottom five. So the odds are getting really long.
Gotta get it out there. By the way, just let me say again, hand up, I was wrong about Brendan wrong. Lemieux. I was not thrilled when the Rangers got him, and I think he's been, for what, like, I expect him to be, again, that's a critical part of this.
What did you ever say strongly against him, though? You didn't,
well,
like...
No, it was just more or less the fact that, like, I thought that I knew Winnipeg was shopping Nick Patan, okay?
And got wrapped up in Patan.
Yeah, well, I just wanted, like, look, let's call spade a spade on this. The Rangers definitely prioritized Lemieux's game over a higher ceiling player. Okay, that's all that comes down to, and that's fine. Lemieux has been better than expected. If he's a third line player, so be it. I'm not even going to get into the fact that Quinn, you know, called him a top six player. There's nothing to do. I just he's been great, and he's been exactly what the Rangers have needed. He's held his own. You know, he hasn't been this crazy detriment to the team. He's added a little bit of rough and tough stuff. It's all good. Final topic for the flagship, Michael.
Final topic.
Looking outside, I'm looking at the woods, and you know what I see out there?
What do we see?
A fox.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about Patrick Newell.
No, oh, yeah, I forgot about him, too. All right, why don't we do that first before we do fox?
Well, okay, that's fine. Let's be completely honest. College hockey. It's all
Adam,
fits under the
Adam
same
Fox
umbrella.
Is the bigger catcher. By the way, my wife legitimately did look out the window and see a fox in the backyard last week, so.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, so the Rangers signed Patrick Newell. He's a California kid. He turned 23 in January. He's the top scorer on the top team in college hockey, from USA Hockey's top-ranked team, St. Cloud State. 21 goals, 26 assists, 39 games. The thing that a lot of people say right off the bat, other than the fact that you know, he's 23 already, he's 5'9" and about 160. So he's very small, even by the modern talking about the modern game and how we talk about, like, oh, you know, size isn't as important anymore, or isn't as important as maybe we used to think it is, especially in terms of conventional thinking for prospects. But what do we know about Patrick Newell, Joe, is that he's had a gigantic season, and he's, you know, a very big year playing for the St. Cloud State Huskies. There's a lot of little things to me about this season that I kind of zero in on. The first being he shot 16.9% this year, which is high. You know, he led his team in goals with 21 goals. And of his 26 assists, Joe, there was, you know, because I like to try to pay attention to, are these, like, is this guy generating offense in the traditional sense? So of the 26 assists, 16 of them were primary. And that's definitely worth keeping an eye on, especially because, like, up until this season, you know, last season he had 27 points, season before 24, freshman season 22. So before this season, with 21 goals, his highest was 7 goals as a freshman. So kind of this offensive production has kind of come out of left field. Of course, he's also getting a big opportunity to play in his senior season in this lineup, but it's very hard to peg this guy as, like, a college free agent to really get excited about. You know, we already saw Taro Hirose, who I wrote about a bit for the banter. He's already scored for Detroit, and that's a lot of fun when we see those college free agents make an immediate impact. And, you know, that's just one goal for him, but it's, we'll have to see what happens with Newell. At the end of the day, the Rangers had a lot of contracts spots open. They definitely need some new blood in Hartford and also in the ECHL with the Maine Mariners. This is not a bad move. I think we're going to... I haven't seen enough of this kid play to really get an idea of what we can hope he'll be. But it's the sort of depth move that I expected them to do something with the free agents out of college you know, the CHL, the Combined Canadian Junior League. So we'll see what happens with Patrick Newell.
Don't take too much into, again, he's a Hobie Baker finalist. Always take it with a grain of salt when a player in his senior year takes an enormous jump that...
Especially when he's 23.
Right, that was never seen before. He's probably going to be, you know, he's probably going to be AHL fodder, but there's no point in not taking the risk on him. Now, Adam Fox, on the other hand, completely different situation.
So, this is a very different situation.
Yeah, Fox is a junior at Harvard, one of the top players in college, okay?
One of the best offensive defensemen.
He's a defenseman.
In the nation.
His underlying metrics are, like, historically good. He is reportedly a New York Rangers fan. And wants to come to the Rangers. 21 years old. He was the 66th overall pick by the Calgary Flames. He had 48 points in 33 games last year for Harvard. Okay? He said he's not signing with Carolina. That came out today. If he does not sign with Carolina at the end of next season, he's a free agent. He can go wherever he wants. A la, you know, all those players who have VC, Hayes, you know, whatever else have you. Unlike Noel, as an example...
Newell.
Newell, sorry. I have the Christmas episode up of Mickey and the Roadster Racer still. He's drafted and a legitimate talent. He could probably be in the Rangers top six today as a 21-year-old, never having played in the NHL before. The report is he wants to come to New York. He's told Carolina he's not signing with them. Carolina is now openly looking to trade him. So,
and they should, because
absolutely.
They risk losing him for nothing.
And here's where it comes down to crazy shit. It is very clear to everyone that Adam Fox wants to play for the New York Rangers. Bob McKenzie, like, outwardly said it today, like Pierre LeBrun, it's the worst kept secret in hockey, if it's even a secret. We've been talking about this for literally 2 years. The point of the matter is, if Fox only wants to go to the Rangers should not offer anything above, say, Pionk or a third-round pick for him. Or they wait it out because they don't care. And any team that gets into any type of trade talks with Carolina will need to be given permission to speak to Fox, because they're not going to trade for him if he's not going to sign with their team. And if he makes it clear that it is New York Rangers or nothing, we very well may see the Rangers make a pennies on the dollar trade for Fox and have him come over and be on the team next year. Can they wait it out? Yeah, of course they can. And that's fine. If they want to, they certainly can. The reason why you don't is because if you get him now, you can use him next year.
Yeah, and that's the
thing. If you get him this summer, you add Trouba, you get rid of, you know, Shattenkirk, or you get rid of Smith, preferably, or Staal or something, you could have a defense that looks like Shattenkirk, Trouba, say. Let's get a little crazy. Fox and Shea in your top four, or D'Angelo even. That's not a bad top group. It might not be good right away, but you have enough youth in there that you're getting somewhere. And then you have another year to bridge the gap towards Miller and Lundqvist and everybody else. Hayek, you know, the whole lot. So this is a big fucking deal. It's a big deal.
The thing I always think about with this is, and, you know, it should be relevant to our listeners, is the, you know, Jimmy Vesey's saying, you know, I'm not going to sign Nashville. And, you know, his rights get traded to Buffalo. What was it for, Joe? Was it a third?
I believe so.
Yeah, and then he doesn't sign at Buffalo, and Buffalo fans just feel absolutely screwed over. He signs with the Rangers. Nashville is like, you know what? We're not too happy that we didn't get our prospect, but hey, we didn't get left with empty hands. And that's why Carolina, it's in their interest to get something. Because if anything, it's better for them. I mean, they don't just want to give them away for pennies on the dollar, but it's better for them to do that than to just say, well, shit, he's going to just walk, you know, after next year. So if they can work out a deal that's going to work, then it's in their best interest to do it, because they'll get something back. They'll get an asset back. And obviously the Rangers have a ton of picks. And the thing that makes Adam Fox so exciting is he led the nation in assists this season. He has put up some really impressive numbers. You know, he's a guy who, you know, he plays the right side.
And the ECAC is no joke. They sent four teams to the tournament. So Quinnipiac, my alma mater, being one of them. So they're not a game.
Yeah, he's not like a franchise guy. Don't get us wrong. However, he is an NHL defenseman. And that is a big deal. You know, he's U.S. national team program. He's a New York native, 5'10", so a little undersized. Great offensive defenseman who plays the right side. You know, we talk about that role all the time. We talk about it with D'Angelo and Pionk and Shattenkirk. Like, if you get the right guy who fits that role, which clearly the Rangers are still looking for, it's a big deal. And it's in their best interest to try and make something work out with Carolina. If they can move Pionk to get him, it would be a
boon. It would be a damn boon.
Big win.
That's what it would be. You hear me? A boon.
Maybe, yeah, we might be talking about that trade happening a couple of shows from now. I kind of hope we are. But I
really hope. Well, let me add something here, Michael. Okay. You ready for this?
Sure.
Larry Brooks, as of 5 minutes ago. Quote, per the NHL, Adam Fox would not burn first-year entry-level contract if traded and signed before the season ends on Saturday. New York Rangers indeed interested in the Harvard right D would expect serious bid before the draft. Fox, currently Kane property, would become a UFA 8, which means he's just an unrestricted free agent, 2020 if he plays out his senior year. So, that is a big, big boon.
Would you, Joe, if you're Jeff Gorton, do you give up, let's just say it's a third. You give up a third?
1,000%. I don't even think about it.
To get him for the team next season as opposed to saying, you know what, I'm just going to give him an entry-level contract.
1,000%. Yeah, I if you could get, this is much different than Panarin.
Yeah.
If you could guarantee yourself Adam Fox, you do it.
And I also think it's worth the risk in terms of the outside chance that this kid just lied to everyone and he's actually not interested in playing for the Rangers and not a diehard Rangers fan.
I agree.
You do it because getting a kid with his skill set in the system is a very good step towards trying to figure out what the hell is going on with this blue line.
It's not easy.
And it would also, in many ways, it might help move the pieces on the chessboard to figure out, all right, well, we do finally got to figure out what the fuck we're doing with Brendan Smith and Mark Stahl and Shattenkirk now, because it's gonna get weird figuring out where the hell everyone's gonna land.
Anthony Viola, Alex Gardner, Eric Karlsson, Panarin 2020, John Reppy, guy from Montana, Daniel DeGen, Eric Cohn, who came on the show last week. Thank you again. 50, Beezer, Jordan Sissone. I'm sorry if I messed that up. Josh Zarkin, O'Connor, Aiden Gaspar, Johnny Lowe, Tall Guy Robert, Fancy Lawrence, Keith Franchillo, Andre Shkagoff, Chris Habibi, Danny Santiago, Gabriel Vargas, James Dangles, David L. Singer, Mike Offit, Bob Kawa, Stink Fleeman, Arch Williams, Igor Zatlovsky, Dan Carozzi, Thomas Osa, Trevor Kepner, and Michael Silvers. Thank you all so much for donating. Patreon.com/blueshirtbanter. You can donate and get stickers. And if you donate to the $10 tier, you get a mug. And we have some fun ideas that's coming for that as well, by the way. And also, there's been a big boon in patrons and patron support. I think we've gotten like 8 new people the last 2 months, so thank you. Obviously, the Vox stuff is working.
You keep saying boon. Do you mean a big boom?
Boon. Nah, nah.
A boon is a gift.
No, a boon, B-O-O-N.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. A boon. It's a thing that's helpful or beneficial.
A gift.
So, you know what? I don't even know where I was going with this. Thank you all for donating. This
you got really pretty eyes, Joe. Anyone ever tell you that? You got nice eyes.
Take my fist and I'm going to put it right in your boo. Johnny Moore, take us away.